Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
After Easter, Jesus told his followers to go, wait, and eventually he showed up in the upper room. Let's not forget that he had kept them waiting for 50 days when people in there were a bit worn down in their resolve. Peter feeling guilty, Mary feeling resentment because the others had run away, James still hopeful. Some were beginning to wonder, did they really see when he rose from the dead? Or did they just see what they wanted to see? Waiting had worn them down. People were heartily sick of each other's quirks and habits. Take a look at the person next to you, either side, and ask yourself, how would you feel after 50 days with them in an underwhelming prayer meeting in the small hall? Don't answer that one. The 12 disciples would never have been friends through preference or social leaning, but they were forced by hope into a deeper relationship in community with those that they would have rather spent a lifetime avoiding. Between them, there was social tension, racial tension, tribal tension, vocational tension, class tension. Jesus intentionally chose and still chooses diversity. They had to work through discomfort to follow him, and now he was going to his Father, but he was leaving behind the Holy Spirit. And after these labour pains, the church was born. At first, it was a spiritual grenade tossed into the social architecture of the time. This revolutionary brood with lots of issues. As I was writing this, it came to mind. My sister bought me a tote bag. It was gold. And in bright letters, it said, "More issues than Vogue." Don't know what she meant. And it was just like that back in the upper room, done through humans, messy humans. It was a mess, a lively yet compelling mess. And out of that boiling crucible, the good news spilt over and seared into people's hearts and souls. But the legacy of Pentecost was not just the inspirational power of the tongues of fire. It was the community of believers that sprung up in humbly ordinary rooms with generally understated and occasionally spectacular worship. The familiar stranger kept going and keeps going in the communal life of all who receive the Holy Spirit all down the years, right to us, Bedhampton. So let's ask ourselves first, what does community offer us as individuals? Well, it offers us a sharpening in my struggle, a tribe in my trouble, and provision in my pain. Let's look first at the sharpening in my struggle. Different blades sharpen each other better. We benefit from doing life with fellow Christians, thrown together purely by geography, who may be in a different life stage, different life experience and personality. We must literally rub along together with the members of our community to become honed in our faith, because this process teaches us a lot. And what's the alternative? Run away to another church? St. Thomas a Kempis said, "Wherever you go, there you are." So you're your personality. And if you went to another church, you'd probably still find yourself in the same place with the same emotions. You're destined to find you in the same place next time, in the same situation, because it's always about humans, messy, broken, beautiful humans. In a Christian community, unity does not mean uniformity. It celebrates diversity within the body of Christ. This unity in diversity can be a powerful witness to others and plays a crucial role in strengthening the faith of individuals and the collective group. The kingdom comes when I am quick to listen, slow to speak, deeply rooted with the perspective of others, not when I am transient or transactional. The kingdom comes when I stick out into personal conflict. People who stay in the crucible are melted, molded, and become more Christ-like. People who remain connected with their brothers and sisters in the local church almost invariably grow in self-understanding, and they mature in their ability to relate in healthy ways to God and their fellow human beings. A prime example for me is Alpha. I've done about six, sometimes in the audience, sometimes leading, and every time I go, my faith is honed. And often by unbelievers, they ask questions that I've never even thought of the questions, let alone the answers. However well prepared I am, it makes me stop and pray and amend myself and my ministry. So, a sharpening in my struggle. Proverbs says it wonderfully, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So, next one. Why is community good for us? They're a tribe in my trouble. Society seems to have an increasing view of self and autonomy and a decreasing view of the importance of community. Acted out, that makes us anxious, insecure, lonely and sick, physically and mentally. 73% of millennials say they are lonely. We live in a therapeutic culture where personal formation, being our best self, sometimes being the best, better than all the rest, is uppermost, so that which was worked out in community is now outsourced to counselling and therapy. As a qualified life coach, I'm not criticising those practices, but it should be done in addition to, not instead of, community. It is affirmed by both psychology and spiritual experts that the context of our deepest and most meaningful healing comes from community. There is a balance. We don't want to become others dependent, but by and large, the route to God lies through other people. And he has been shouting that at us since Genesis 2. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper." When asked the greatest commandment, Jesus joined two together, love of God and love of other. Are you longing for signs and wonders, for physical healing and deep inner healing, for the ground-shaking word of prophecy, for powerful intercession and the society changing that follows? Then let's channel our attention and patience into those we struggle to love. Discomfort ourselves to let them in, even invite them into our own homes. We can't try to manifest the miracles of Jesus without building up his love. A recent example for me of the unstoppable tribe in my troubles was me going out on Women of Holy Week asking for ideas about how to keep Mac, my ward, 12-year-old, who's very homesick. She's from America. She's at boarding school here. She's very homesick. I suddenly was having her for the weekend. I didn't really know what to do with her to take her mind off everything. And I went out on Women of Holy Week and I got about 12 ideas. People just like, what about this? Here's the link. Have a go at that. Ring them. And it was just great. And she had a lovely time and she went away happy and she had a lovely weekend. And I told her where the list came from and she was so grateful. So, a tribe in my trouble. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So, last one. Why is community good for us? Provision in my pain. After the initial rush back in Pentecost, small community groups of believers began to meet regularly in house churches for study, service and fellowship. To function correctly, these small groups work as extensions of the larger church body, but with the objective of more significant growth and connection. I found that people will share more intimate prayer requests instead of superficial ones, which leave us emotionally shallow with each other. With time and building trust, they allow us to go deep and share our doubts, fears, and concerns, and explore God's role in our lives. These are arguably where the church can shine most. They encourage but never force us to be more vulnerable, albeit in our own time and pace. This may be hard for some people, but we can become more self-aware of our issues that need resolution. When we choose not to deal with our issues, we impact our own spiritual lives and those of the others around us. A trusted community helps us expose them to the light and fix them. There's nothing in our lives that Jesus can't help us to mend. We should be examples of people willing to look at our issues and take responsibility for our actions. Community helps us to find people mature enough to help us when we go wrong, help guide us when we stumble, and rejoice with us in our victories. I thought I'd done every aspect of healthy, physical, mental, and spiritual healing therapy. Tick. And my most life-changing experience happened when Max led a really small group of for emotionally healthy spirituality. These people, like a real mix of people, they really helped me look in the mirror and move on in my faith and my self-development, lovingly guiding me to personal, sometimes uncomfortable, but ultimately change for the good. So that's us looked at. But what else do we then need to do with this? Well, alongside growing ourselves, Jesus expanded the scope of community, telling his disciples to start their outreach and testimony in their own backyard. The Luke reading this morning tells us, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, serve one another humbly in love. At one of the Ruach prayer sessions, I had the vision of Bedhampton as a ball of linen strips, beautifully impregnated with the balm of frankincense. We are all deeply, gloriously welcomed and embedded here. Yes, the fabric has slubs and faults, but we can embrace our differences and weave together through meeting up in services, home groups, and friendships. The word was that we should roll that ball forward, albeit gradually and at a pace that feels comfortable, so that the newcomers, the next layer, become permeated with that essence of who we are and what we offer. That they are essential to our ongoing story.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.